Typhoon Kardin ravages Luzon, leaving at least 5 dead in the province of Bulacan. The typhoon also left 2 fatalities in Zambales, with over a dozen others feared dead. We'll have our correspondents on the ground to give us the latest on the aftermath of this devastating storm. And Kardin continues to move away from Luzon as it makes its way to Vietnam. Hi, I'm Pamina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. We begin with the tragic loss of lives and the widespread damage due to Typhoon Kardin. In San Miguel, Bulacan, 5 rescuers who went missing were found dead. They drowned while responding to flood-hit villages. We'll have our correspondent Katrina Domingo to later on in the program to tell us more about this. Meanwhile, in Zambales, at least 2 people are confirmed dead due to floods. Officials say at least 20 others are feared dead after they were reportedly swept away in the towns of Cabangan and San Felipe. Over 500 families there have been evacuated as well. Quezon Province bore the brunt of Typhoon Kardin. Dozens of families there had to be evacuated because of strong winds and heavy rainfall. The province was among those placed under Signal No. 5 Sunday. Affected areas include Infanta and Polillo Island. Sea travel has been suspended at the Rial port, and fisher folk advised to avoid the seas for now.
Mahirap din po dahil din po naman yung aking asawa po nasa Maynila. Nagtatrabaho po, di kami lang po dalawa sa aming bahay. Ako po dito na pumunta. Ako po kinakabanay sa aking bata, sa aking mga pamangkin.
Last 2 years, I think, ay kami na ano ng Ulysses. Ay kami talaga po doon ay abot na abot ang basa lahat ng gamit. Talagang nandun na yung takot.
Pinakamalaki po ng evacuees natin nasa barangay Dinahikan. No, ito po yung coastal barangay, pinakamalaking populasyon, at vulnerable po sila sa storm surge.
Meanwhile, in Camarines Norte, around 100 tourists were stranded in Calaguas Island after the Coast Guard there implemented a no-sailing policy. Hundreds are also currently staying in various evacuation centers in the province. Travelers were also stranded at the Matnog port in Sorsogon, as sea travel there was also stopped due to the bad weather. Long lines of trucks and other vehicles were also seen outside the port. President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. orders government agencies to immediately respond to typhoon-ravaged areas. In a cabinet briefing this morning, Marcos said there must be efficient ways to utilize government assets.
I'm happy to note that we have many assets. We have mga sasakyan, yung mga goods, whatever it is that we will need. They're already available, ready to go. Ngayon, I think what we have to do now is how do we deploy those assets? Nandiyan na sila. Saan ang pinaka-importante, pinaka-critical?
President Marcos also wants communication and power restored immediately in affected areas.
One of the most important things is to establish immediately after a storm or the case to establish communications with the affected areas para alam natin kung what's happening. And of course, power. What we have been doing before, even before I took office, was pagka may disaster, nagpapadala kami ng mga facility, na truck para mag-provide ng Wi-Fi, Wi-Fi connection.
After the briefing, the president conducted aerial inspections over the typhoon-hit provinces of Bulacan and Nueva Ecija. The National Grid Corporation of the Philippines is conducting restoration activities for transmission lines that were disrupted by the onslaught of Kardin. The NGCP says it is currently assessing the impact of the typhoon to its operations and facilities. Meanwhile, power distributor Meralco says there were some 51,000 power interruptions in its franchise area as of 6 in the morning. That's down from the more than 1.2 million total since Sunday. It also assures the public it is doing everything it can to keep the power on.
I just continue to work round the clock in order to restore power as soon as possible. And rest assured, we're working 24/7 until we are able to provide complete service to our customers.
The Philippine Social Welfare Department says 10,000 people are in evacuation centers due to Typhoon Karding. The agency notes evacuees are well taken care of. Officials urge evacuees to wait for the clearance from the local government before returning to their homes.
Disaster happens when these evacuees tends to go back to their respected residences even before the clearance from the LGU and from the DSWD. As we know, yes, the weather is improving at this point in time, but time and time again, we are not very sure that this will be the overall situation in the next 24 hours. That's why we're trying to assure the public, these evacuees, that if they stay in our evacuation center, it will be much better. And if they will wait for the clearance, it will be safer for them.
Our Bayan Patroller is keeping us up to speed on how their areas have been affected by Karding. Bayan Patroller Jonard Francia shared the storm tore off the roof of their home in Polillo. That's in Quezon. Fortunately, no one was hurt. And still in Quezon province, Desiree Combalicer shared a video showing strong winds brought by Karding. The wrath of the typhoon was also felt in Isabela, as shown in this video from Bayan Patroller Ruby Peralta Morales. And in Humalig, Quezon, Henry Fulion shared a video showing trees swaying due to strong winds. We'll take a quick break now. When we come back, we'll have more updates on the aftermath of Typhoon Karding. Keep it here on ANC. You're watching Dateline Philippines. And we're back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines at this noon. Typhoon Karding ravages Luzon, leaving at least five dead in the province of Bulacan. The typhoon also left two fatalities in Zambales, with over a dozen others feared dead. And Karding continues to move away from Luzon as it makes its way to Vietnam. Still in our top story, five brave rescuers made the ultimate sacrifice to get people to safety as Karding barreled through San Miguel in Bulacan. Our very own Katrina Domingo now joins us with the latest from there. Kat, what more can you tell us?
Hermina, the town of San Miguel here in Bulacan is gripped by anguish because, as you said, five rescuers drowned here earlier today. Bulacan Mayor Daniel Fernando says the five men were part of a rescue team that was pre-positioned here in San Miguel as early as Sunday evening. These men were originally boarding a rescue truck as they drove around the area in search of residents who were trapped in their homes. However, their truck bogged down as floodwaters began to rise in parts of this town last night, so they decided to ride their rescue boat instead. But Carmina, while paddling their way across deep floodwaters, their rescue boat was toppled by a collapsing wall. Authorities say they drowned, and we saw for ourselves the bloated cadavers that are already in a funeral parlor here. But the provincial government has deployed more investigators to check if the rescuers were also electrocuted while fighting against the flood's current. The governor says they will be given posthumous honors while their families will receive cash awards. But their families are still wailing, breathing in the funeral parlor, desperately wishing for their loved ones to be brought back to life. Now, San Miguel Mayor Roderick Yongson says San Miguel Town is the most devastated town in Bulacan as all of its 49 barangays were submerged in flood earlier today. Governor Fernandez says agricultural damage in the province is pegged at least 3 billion pesos so far. The province is still assessing its infrastructure damage after Kerding's onslaught, and the governor says he will make a decision on whether or not to declare a state of calamity here in the province after those numbers have already been finalized. Hermina.
Kat, tell us more about the relief efforts that I'm assuming is currently ongoing. Earlier today, we were able to speak with a member of a family trapped also in San Miguel, Bulacan. No way out to, you know, get sustenance from for their families. How are the relief efforts coming along, or is the local government there able to reach these residents of San Miguel, Bulacan, who were previously left without any potable water and also not enough food to sustain them today? Katrina.
That's right, Carmina. No data yet coming from the local or from the Municipal Disaster Risk Reduction and Management Office. A lot of the disaster officials here, including the governor, the mayor, and the vice governor, were more focused on the five rescuers who died earlier. Earlier this morning, as early as 3 or 4 in the morning, we saw a lot of residents camping out along the highway. They were asking for food, for water, saying that they didn't manage to bring enough as they rushed out of their homes last night. So far, Carmina, the mayor tells us that they have yet to release a list or a summary of all the number of families that had to evacuate to higher ground last night. They have also yet to release data as to how many food packs they have already distributed here in San Miguel. But so far, Carmina, what we see here is that floods are already subsiding and that residents have already returned to their homes. Some have went to houses of their relatives situated in higher ground, and that, I guess, is where they will be spending most of the afternoon today. We are still also awaiting word from the Provincial Disaster Risk Reduction and Management Office as to how many, again, food packs and non-food items they would be receiving or have already released to residents here in Bulacan's most devastated town. But Carmina, we met the head of the Provincial Disaster Risk Reduction and Management Office earlier, and she was in shambles. She was crying. We could not speak directly to her. She was gravely affected by the loss of her team. Hermina.
Also, Kat, I don't know if you can confirm this or if the other residents that you were able to talk to can confirm this. At least the family that we spoke to earlier today over in DZMM said that they're used to this. Their areas, their homes getting flooded, but not like what happened last night. It was chest deep, according to the resident. I think it's a Chet Tayo that we spoke to earlier today. They're used to their homes getting flooded, but only until knee deep. But last night, that was a different story. The waters reached up to chest deep, Kat.
That's right, Carmina. That's the similar story told to us by no less than San Miguel Mayor Tiong Son. He says that he has lived here since he was young, that San Miguel Town is usually a low-lying area. A lot of the land here are rice fields, rice paddies, and that flooding was a common thing. But yesterday's flood was the deepest that he has seen so far in his entire life here in San Miguel. We asked him what was the contributing factor. Why does he think, why did floodwaters rise so high last night? He says that it might be because of the amount or the volume of rain brought by Carding itself. But he advocates or he urges the national government to totally stop quarrying activities, all quarrying activities in the Sierra Madre mountain range. He says that the floods last night only goes to show that climate change is a real threat, not only here in San Miguel, Bulacan, but in the rest of the world. Hermina.
Thanks a lot. Our very own Katrina Domingo there reporting to us live from San Miguel in Bulacan, the most devastated area there in Bulacan because of the wrath of Typhoon Carding. Kat, thanks again for joining us. Take care and keep safe. Back here in the newsroom, let's get an update now on Typhoon hit Pampanga. We'll be speaking now with Angelina Blanco of the Provincial Risk Reduction and Management Office. Ms. Blanco, thank you for joining us today. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Ms. Carmina. Good afternoon.
Tell us about the situation there as we speak. What's the weather like and what are the activities, relief efforts or rescue efforts that may be ongoing as you talk to us today?
Okay. For the overall weather situation in Pampanga, right now we have cloudy skies, and sometimes in other parts of the province we have already clear skies. And then we have around 32 barangays flooded. No, this is due to the combined tidal and fluvial waters. No, actually, the other barangays have been flooded even before the onslaught of Typhoon Carding. But because of high tide and the combination of tidal and fluvial waters and the rains, the heavy rains last night, so 32 barangays are now flooded in the entire province of Pampanga. Mm-hmm. So we have implemented a preemptive evacuation since yesterday morning. And as of this time, we have 59 evacuation centers activated in all 46 barangays in the province. And the number of families evacuated are 598. Mm-hmm. So far, there are no major damages on infrastructure. And right now, our personnel from the provincial agriculturists are now assessing the damages on agriculture, but I cannot tell you right now the exact number of hectares that were affected by the typhoon.
But Ms. Blanco, sorry to cut you there. Talking about the agriculture sector now, you don't have the exact cost of or estimate of damage yet, but where were you at in terms of the planting season? Were farmers there already ready to harvest, but then the typhoon struck? Can you give us a clear picture?
According to our farmers, some of them are on the maturity stage already, some are in the ripening stage, and some are newly planted.
All right, so expect major damage there, I guess is what we're expecting.
Yes.
All right. And when you talk about having all of these people now in evacuation centers, how are you able to manage, keeping them safe from any effects of the typhoon, but also keeping them safe from the COVID-19 the COVID-19 virus? We all know that we're still in the middle of the pandemic, and that's still top priority right there. Ms. Blanco?
Yes, of course. Since we still have the COVID-19, so it's difficult for us to implement the minimum public health standards. But then we are implementing the minimum public health standards in our evacuation centers. With regards to the food requirements, all of our local government units have their stockpiled food items, and the province is augmenting food items for those who cannot afford to feed the evacuation centers. Mm-hmm. But right now, I have been receiving reports that some of the evacuees are already returning to their homes, because yesterday we just implemented preemptive evacuations for those living near the coastal area. Mm-hmm. So because of the weather now, it's seemingly
improving.
So yes, we have a good weather right now. Mm-hmm. And some of them have decided to go home.
Mm-mm. But when you talk about all these 32 barangays, Ms. Blanco, that are still flooded, are there any barangays that remain isolated, or are you able to reach all those in these 32 barangays?
We can all reach the 32 barangays. And the depth of the flooding mostly is from 1 foot to 2 feet only. Mm-mm,
mm-mm. So not a lot of obstacles right there to reach all these affected residents.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. We do know that the president had ordered the cancellation of classes and work today, but with how your province is still reeling from the effects of Typhoon Karding, would it be safe to assume that classes and maybe government work will remain suspended tomorrow?
Perhaps in the case of Pampanga, since the weather is becoming better for the work, no? I think work will resume tomorrow. And as for the classes, it will depend on the local chief executive. They have their discretion on whether to suspend, especially those with flooded barangays. Mm-hmm. So we leave it to the discretion of our local chief executive.
Right, but all these residents are still going to, you know, clean up their homes, and that's going to entail a lot of work still. So they may be needing an extra day or two there. But going back to the wrath of Typhoon Karding, is this the worst that you've seen, the flooding in Pampanga, or the worst of the effects of any typhoon that have passed that has passed the area, Ms. Blanco?
Actually, this is not the worst, no? But we expected for the worst yesterday because Pampanga was placed under tropical cyclone wind signal number 5.
Yeah.
What happened is we only had light to moderate to heavy rain for maybe less than 2 hours, but the winds are strong.
Mm-mm. But it's a good thing, really,
typhoons, no?
Yeah.
This has lesser impact on our province.
Mm-mm. I guess it was a good thing that it was a fast move. It may have been a strong storm, but it was a fast moving storm, and that really was a good thing, and it didn't bring in a lot of the rainfall compared to the other typhoons that have passed your area. Anyway, we'll leave it at that. We appreciate all the updates that you gave us this afternoon. We continue to hope that everyone there will be safe. We still have the habagat, the effects of that. Are you still feeling that?
Yes, ma'am. I'd like to tell our province mates to please continue to stay at home, no? We have declared the suspension of classes and work to allow some time for our responders and local governments to safely and properly clear our roads, mm-hmm. and fallen trees, electric lines. They may coordinate with their for any concerns.
Mm. By the way, Ms. Blanco, what's the power situation in Pampanga?
Pardon me?
What's the power situation in Pampanga?
Last night, there were some power interruptions, but now we only have one municipality, the city of Makalakat, with 7 barangays that yet energized because they're still clearing the electric lines that have fallen. That's why I've been telling the people to please not to go out first. Let our responders and the government clear everything so that they would be safe.
All right, we're going to have to leave it at that. Angelina Blanco there of the Provincial Risk Reduction and Management Office, thanks for joining us today. Take care and keep safe.
Thank you very much, Ms. Katrina.
All right, from there, Typhoon Karding slightly weakens as it continues to move away from the Luzon landmass. Storm warning signal number 1 remains over several areas. Let's get the latest now from ABS-CBN's resident meteorologist Ariel Rojas. Ariel, what more can you tell us?
Hi, good afternoon, Carmina. Typhoon Karding emerged over the West Philippine Sea after crossing central Luzon overnight. It made 2 landfalls yesterday, first over Burdeos in Polugio Island, Quezon at 5:30 in the afternoon, and second over Dingalan Aurora at 8:20 last night. At 10 a.m. today, it was spotted 230 kilometers west of Dagupan City. As you have mentioned, it's slightly weakened now with maximum winds of 130 kilometers per hour and gusts up to 160 kilometers per hour. It continues to move west-northwestward at a speed of 30 kilometers per hour. Wind signal number 1 remains in effect over Zambales, the western portions of Pangasinan and Tarlac, and northwestern Pampanga. All other wind warnings have been lifted, and these remaining signals will also be lifted in the coming hours. Heavy rains will still be expected until this early afternoon in western Pangasinan, Zambales, and Bataan. The southwest monsoon or Habagat, enhanced by the typhoon and its shock or extension, will also bring scattered rains over the rest of central Luzon, some parts of northern Luzon, Visayas, Sulu Archipelago, and Zamboanga Peninsula. Here in Metro Manila, it will be sunny, but there will still be occasions of cloudiness and thunderstorm may be possible in the afternoon or evening. Harding is expected to continue track westward and may exit the Philippine area of responsibility tonight. It will head towards Vietnam. Katie?
Right. Ariel, one thing before we let you go. A lot of people really nervous about the super typhoon Karding, knowing that it's going to happen almost at the same time when Typhoon Ondoy happened. Why wasn't Karding as destructive as the previous typhoons or super typhoons that came our way?
Yes, first off, we have to thank the Sierra Madre Mountains for actually doing its job. Usually, when typhoons cross this area, the land interaction, the rugged terrain causes friction, which disorganizes the wind circulation. Apart from that, this is actually a relatively smaller typhoon compared to, say, Yolanda. So that means that the rain bands and the clouds were concentrated in a small area. If we have noticed, most of the rains actually were just dumped in Quezon, northern Quezon, Aurora, parts of Nueva Ecija and Bulacan. So that actually somehow lessened the impact. Even here in Metro Manila, where we were expecting lots of rains to fall, there were just light to moderate rains, but more of gustiness from the winds of the typhoon.
Mm-hmm. And talking about the winds, it clocked in at pretty high speeds, but this is also, I think, part of the reason why it wasn't as destructive. Correct me if I'm wrong, because it was a fast-moving storm.
It is actually correct. If it had, actually decreased its forward speed, we may have a problem, because looking at just the rains dumped, let's say in Cordillera, in Sierra Madre, the amount of rains that actually flowed downstream to the Marikina River, had it been more, we would have seen major flooding here in Metro Manila as well as in other parts of Bulacan. We have seen, chest deep, neck deep flooding in San Miguel, Bulacan. So that means it actually dumped a lot of rains in the mountains. Hmm. We may be seeing flooding in the Pampanga catch basin perhaps tomorrow once the rainwaters have actually gone there.
All right, we're going to have to leave it at that. Our resident meteorologist, Ariel Rojas, there joining us this noon. Thanks again. Keep safe. And from there, Typhoon Karding also dumped heavy rains over the province of Aurora, forcing locals there to evacuate. Our very own George Carino, monitoring developments there as we speak. He joins us now with the latest. Manong George, glad to see you're safe. Tell us about all the stories that you have collated from there.
Casey, good afternoon. Behind me is the horror scene that was that stumbled upon the residents of Barangay Paltic, who evacuated yesterday, and this morning they chanced upon this scene. Boats that were pushed by the waves that caused by Super Typhoon Karding, and those boats smashed into their houses right here in Purok Mulawin and Purok Ipil-Ipil of Barangay Paltic here in the town of Dingalan, Aurora. This is one of the coastal municipality of the 8 municipalities of Aurora Province. And this morning, Governor Christian Veras was telling me that this is the badly hit municipality in their province. And luckily, according to residents, no one died in this scene. And this is the result of the local government, the municipality's effort to forcibly evacuate and do preemptive evacuation of residents who are considered in harm's way. I was able to talk with Lizelle Cañete earlier, and she told me that this is the second time that they were hit, but by a very I don't know how to say it, severe weather. The last time was in December of 2020 when Ulysses struck this place, and the other one was last night when Super Typhoon Carding lasts its waves toward this shore. Lizelle Cañete was able to survive along with her six kids because they stayed in the evacuation center. And she was quite thankful to Mayor Sherwin Taay, who brought the military, the police, and the firemen here to forcibly evacuate each and every soul in this area. That's why you will see most of the people now are trying to pick up what remains of their household. And they said they will stay here because they have no other choice. But given the options, they would rather seek shelter in another area, hopefully to evade in the future another scene similar to this. Casey?
You know, George, when you talk about Aurora, we know that it's no stranger to storms. But how was this different for the residents there?
Yeah, that's a good point, Casey. I asked a resident a while ago, what is the similarity or difference of this typhoon? They said that in Ulysses, they suffered severe damage, but not quite similar to what they had this morning, because they were thinking that all this time they tried to rebuild their lives, and they did not anticipate that such a day, with just over a year, this day will come, that this storm will suddenly revert their life to zero. They're back to zero right now. All their belongings were damaged by the storm. Casey?
And how will the local government there help rebuild their lives?
Actually, that's a good question. Another question. Because during our conversation in the morning, this morning, with Governor Noveras in Baler, he said he will go here and try to get the damage assessment. Actually, the mayor is right now in moving along the barangays, several barangays of Baler, and trying to make a similar damage assessment so that they can provide appropriate action and solution to the perennial problem of these residents. If you will notice, these boats are already beyond economic repair. Mm-hmm. And we know for a fact how much this boat costs. And while rebuilding another boat, it means no livelihood for the people of Dingalan Aurora. And that's one of the focal point that the local government is trying to solve for the immediate and the long-term action on the problem of Dingalan. Casey? Mm-hmm.
You know, George, when you talk about climate change, you have to talk about loss and damage, the very concept of it. And I guess this is the perfect picture of loss and damage, the very concept of it. The picture right behind you, it is something that happens beyond climate change adaptation, beyond climate change mitigation. This is what vulnerable countries have to contend with for something that they have contributed little to. So I guess that's also what the president was talking about when he addressed the UN General Assembly, about how the vulnerable nations like ours should address climate change. And it's from the very concept of loss and damage. Our very own George Carino there joining us from Dingalan in Aurora, really bearing the brunt of Typhoon Carding there. Thanks, George, for joining us. And again, to you and the rest of the team, glad to know you're safe. See you at HQ very soon.
Thank you.
Well, back here in the newsroom, as Carding further weakens, the Disaster Management Agency reminds affected local government units to finish their damage assessment as soon as possible. This will allow government to provide the necessary assistance to them. Disaster officials also reminding Filipinos to remain vigilant because the typhoon season, it's not yet over.
Hindi pa po tapos ang ating assessment, and we'd like all the local government to really finish, and so that we can assist you, no? So sa anumang pangangailangan nyo. But sa mga kababayan natin, sa lahat po na tumugon, sumuporta at nag-cooperate dito sa ating panawagan na mag-evacuate at mag-prepare dito sa Carding, maraming salamat po. And we still have 10 more, no? typhoons hanggang December. So tuloy-tuloy lang ang ating paghahanda at mag-continuous ang ating cooperation sa ating mga LGUs hanggang matapos po itong typhoon season for 2022.
And we're going to go back to Pampanga now, where karding uprooted trees rendering some roads impassable. Our very own Gracie Rutao now joins us with an update. Gracie, what more can you tell us?
Carmina, heavy to intense with at times torrential rains was experienced throughout the province of Pampanga last night till early this morning. Initial aftermath of the storm left behind debris and tree damages. In a report from Pampanga PBRRMC, fallen branches and trees were recorded in the city of San Fernando, town of Apalit, Arayat, and Magalang. More than 20 barangays are flooded, and power outage was experienced in 15 cities and municipalities last night due to strong winds, blasted transformers, and low-voltage electric supply because of the super typhoon. In the town of Mexico, road to Barangay San Pablo near the spillway is not possible to all types of vehicles due to fallen bumble of bamboo tree. Public is advised to take the San Lorenzo Road to San Roque as an alternate route. As of this morning, there are 590 families, 2,192 individuals that have been evacuated. Those are living in open areas or near Pampanga River. Pampanga is experiencing the calm after the storm. Weather is getting better. However, the provincial government reminded the Cabalans to remain alert, who live in low-lying areas, because flooding is still expected as water coming from the upstream of Pampanga River will put out the displacement as this drain in Monday. And that's the latest here in Pampanga. Back to you, Carolina.
Thanks a lot, Gracie. Take care and keep safe. We're going to take a quick break now. Still ahead, Hurricane Fiona this time slams into eastern Canada. More on that when we come back. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Back with more news. While the Philippines was getting hammered by karding, Hurricane Fiona pounded Canada, leaving a trail of destruction in its wake. At least one person is confirmed dead in one of the hardest hit towns in Newfoundland. The town mayor described Porto Basques as a complete war zone, with damage to infrastructure likely in the millions of dollars. Fiona slammed into eastern Canada Saturday with 170 kilometer per hour winds, triggering storm surges and floods. While the full scale of its devastation remains unclear, the storm could prove to be one of Canada's costliest natural disasters. The U.S. warns Russia of catastrophic consequences if it uses its nuclear weapons in its war in Ukraine. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said in an interview with CBS, Washington has sent private warnings to Moscow to steer clear of a nuclear war. Last week, Russian President Vladimir Putin made a thinly veiled threat. He may use nuclear arms in Ukraine. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has said Putin's threat could become a reality. Russia imposes tougher penalties for soldiers voluntarily surrendering or refusing to fight in the war in Ukraine. The military said servicemen who desert or disobey orders can face up to 10 years in prison. This comes after President Putin instigated a partial mobilization of reservists, allowing him to draw up to 300,000 additional troops. But his call up was met with indignation. Thousands are heading to the borders, some on foot, in hopes of escaping enlistment. A separate law signed on Saturday grants Russian citizenship for foreigners who enlist in the Russian army. Back here at home, the Philippines records its highest number of new COVID-19 cases since September 1st. 3,520 new cases were logged Sunday. The total number of cases stands at over 3.9 million, wherein 35,399 are active. 31 new deaths have also been recorded. The positivity rate is now at 15.3%. Despite the increase in COVID-19 metrics, the country as a whole remains at low risk. Local pump prices set to go down for a fourth straight week. Gasoline prices will be rolled back by 1 peso and 65 centavos per liter, diesel by 1 peso and 25 centavos, and kerosene by 1 peso and 35 centavos. The drop follows a slump in global crude prices last week amid fears rising interest rates will tip major economies into a recession, cutting demand for oil. In entertainment, the controversial film Don't Worry, Darling hits the big screen. Our resident movie critic Manny the Movie Guy now tells us what he thinks about the star-studded flick.
Haunting, intriguing, and highly controversial. The sci-fi drama Don't Worry, Darling from director Olivia Wilde is now out for you to enjoy or hate. It's a polarizing film preceded by its reputation.
Yumi.
Indeed, with all the real-life drama surrounding production, it may be hard to see this movie without any preconceived notion. Pro tip, leave your worries behind and be seduced by the movie, at least until the last part. Can't you see? Partly shot in Palm Springs, the desert serves as a beautiful but arid backdrop with the iconic Kaufman House serving as one of the characters.
We men, we ask a lot.
Inside this mid-century modern home is a seemingly perfect marriage. The wife, Alice, is happy doing chores every day and making her husband, Jack, happy at night.
Discretion above all else.
The always fantastic Florence Pugh is front and center as the wife. She suspects that not all is what it seems. She notices something weird in this idealistic utopian existence. Of course, her husband, played dutifully by pop star Harry Styles, does not agree.
Sleep in the bedroom.
The supporting cast is also good, with Wilde appearing on camera as Alice's best friend Bunny, and Chris Pine is Jack's boss.
Nasty word.
The film, like its production, has many secrets. You'll spend the first half trying to figure it all out, then find yourself checking time because of its lumbering second half. Wilde, who gave us the super funny Booksmart, one of my favorite films of 2019, tried her best to make sense of the overstuffed script. Her great cast, including herself, surely helped, even though some of my expectations were not met.
I have some pills I can prescribe for that.
In the end, this hodgepodge of Stafford Wives and Inception is a hollow but watchable exercise on gender oppression. It's ably directed and acted with cunning use of sound and images. You may be able to predict the outcome long before the film catches up, but this, I tell you, don't worry about the film. Darlings, it's just fine. And for that, Don't Worry, Darling gets 3 out of 4. Take us back to the good old days. Kisses. I'm Manny the Movie Guy for ANC.
Sports news now. Boxing great Floyd Mayweather scores a knockout victory in an exhibition match against MMA fighter Mikuru Asakura in Japan. The 45-year-old floored his opponent with a right hand late in the second round. Watching on the sidelines, his rival, Filipino boxing icon Manny Pacquiao. Mayweather, however, dismissed any prospect of a rematch against the Pac-Man. Pop superstar Rihanna will return to the stage for the Super Bowl halftime show. It's a big move for Rihanna, who has put music aside, at least publicly, to focus on her cosmetics brand. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the News Channel.